It's Wrecking Ball Radio.
Shut up and entertain me.
There's no rules. There's no rules.
Holy sh**. It's amazing.
I see her sarcasm and nastiness grow.
This is Davin's Den.
Davin's Den, yes, Davin's Den, the show that is better than a stripper practicing social distancing.
Better than that.
You could join our chat room, the Den Pen, by going to davincomedy.com and clicking on live broadcast. You can also watch us on Facebook Live. You go to the Davin's Den page on Facebook for that. I am your host, Davin Rosenblatt. I am joined on the phone by Joe Curry, where he's hunkered down with a keytar. Hi, Joe.
That's right.
Good. And on the phone by Pip Helix, who now has the time to count the hairs on her Steve Winwood doll. Hello, Pip.
Hi, everybody.
Everybody's got time on their hands. All right. Let's see. What do we got going on? So we're back. We're going to try to get everybody through this little pandemic on the show. Nazis want to weaponize the coronavirus. Donald Trump's spiritual advisor wants to weaponize prayer for money. A church refuses to close. A priest is offering drive-through confessionals. You can enjoy a drive-through striptease. You can now bet on the weather. And scamming scammers with Jane. And Lori and Mike from Logansport are checking in. Mike has trouble, but I got on through the Davin's Den page. I don't know what type of trouble he's having then, but that sounds like something they might want to work out. But hello, Mike and Lori in Logansport. So, how is everybody? Is everybody good?
Yeah, I'm stuck inside. I'm talking to the furniture. I've been cooped up here for the past 3 days.
You know who I feel bad for? The furniture. You're not that interesting.
Yeah, they've been talking.
Have they? So I thought you were going into the office.
I am. I've been going into the day program.
All right.
You know, it's like the whole weekend. There's no gigs. There's no nothing. I was cooped up here.
It's all right. You don't like people. This is perfect for you. This is like the best week ever.
I didn't say it wasn't.
Oh.
There's no traffic. Gas is cheap. Nobody bothers me. You know, I mean, if there were gigs, I'd feel like my ass was in a butter tub. But nonetheless, it's not.
You feel like your ass is in a butter tub. I don't even know what that means.
You ever land with your ass in a butter tub? Butter is very nice. It's a nice feeling.
I can't believe it's not a butter tub.
No.
And how are you enjoying isolation, Miss Helix?
Actually, you know, since I'm working, I just, like, got an hour off. I took a little nap, and now I'm back on the at the same computer.
Back on. Hello, Tom. I see Tom's in the chat room. Yeah, man, it's kind of weird. Like, it doesn't really change my day-to-day because I kind of hold up in the basement anyway. But now I'm like a fucking Viking looking to pillage the sanitizer area at the supermarkets and the drugstores. Nobody's got this Purell. You motherfucking animals. You treat it like it's Jack Daniels or something. It's still closed. Nobody has it. They had a delivery last night. I go in at 10 o'clock this morning. All gone. No more Purell. These motherfuckers had dirt under their nails, never washed themselves, but now I can't find Purell. It's a bunch of crap, I tell you.
So let me get this straight. They had a delivery last night, correct?
Correct.
And you sashayed in there at 10 o'clock this morning?
I wouldn't call it sashaying. I know it's sashay.
You got to get in there. How do you think I got toilet paper? I went out like the road warrior last week because I know these supermarkets get deliveries at night. And I went out and and I got my toilet paper, I got my paper towel. You gotta be there at the crack of.
But you're disobeying the president. He tells everybody to keep 6 feet apart. So I'm gonna go there like a herd of wild animals, so I can like be amongst these sick individuals breathing and coughing all and touching all over the place just to get some Purell. No, it defeats the purpose. I'm listening to the president.
In the morning, not many people were there.
They're there. If there weren't many people there, I could have sashayed and gotten my Purell, Joe. Obviously, they're there. They're there lining up like you.
There was no lines. Walked right in, got my stuff, got on out.
Well, clearly there was a line, unless ShopRite got one bottle of Purell, because I couldn't get the shit.
Okay.
I went into the supermarket, and I went to... just see, do they have any new supplies of paper towels or toilet paper? And I would have bought the, small amount that I normally buy. Nothing.
No.
Not one sheet.
Because you're a bunch of animals, a bunch of filthy animals out there.
I know.
I don't know if you guys saw, but a couple of days ago, Dick El Dorado made an appearance on public service announcement on what to do.
Now I know it's the end of times. Dick El Dorado has risen again.
Yes, he has.
Nice duds.
It's only a matter of time till everybody's treated to the daffodils of August.
Don't make me read it.
Don't make me hear it.
Don't make me think about it.
So here's the thing, man. It's interesting. I've seen a lot of comedians are doing performances in their living room to nobody and streaming it. So, like, on the one hand, I'm like, well, that's really nice of them. On the other hand, and this is the clean hand, I'm like, no fucking way would I do that. I'm not standing in my living room. It's bad enough, but at least I'm talking to you guys. But, like, I can't imagine just reciting my comedy, working the couch, working the chair. How would I do that?
Well, you want to know something? The whole thing with the Dick El Dorado thing is, I've been always wanting to do this character for a while. So basically, I saw all these comics screaming and doing this, and I'm like, you want to know something? I actually do have the time now.
Yes, you do.
Sunday. I said, if I don't do this character now, I'll never do it, and I'll be pissed. So, yes, Sunday night, 9 o'clock, I've got everything together, and I did a couple of PSAs.
That's what we were looking for, the wisdom of Dick El Dorado.
And that's what you got. There's going to be plenty of more where that comes from, my friend.
Well, I see Dr. Fauci get swapped in and out on a daily basis, so maybe you can stand there behind the president.
I most certainly would.
I'll tell you what, America's looking for a man in a long cowboy coat and a cowboy hat. That's what America needs right now, a real fucking cowboy.
That time we got it. That's me.
Yes, that's you.
Actually, I think that people would find Dick El Dorado a lot more comforting than what they're seeing right now.
When I think Dick El Dorado, I think comforting.
And you should.
That's not what I think, actually, but some people might.
So, Joe, will you be doing stand-up comedy live from the living room?
Yeah, I might be. I'm doing it for Uncle Vinny's Corona Club. I'm going to be putting together like 3 minutes or so and pasting that.
Uncle Vinny's Corona Club. What is that?
Oh, my God.
That Dino started. All the comics are just going to send in quick clips of stuff doing a stand-up. So why not?
If people send it in, is he going to yell at them and imagine things that and get an imaginary fight that only fucking happen in his head? Is he going to do that when they email clips?
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't like this clip. I once had an altercation with this clip. He's fucking Jersey's version of Bix. I'll tell you what, but here's the thing. I feel like the community needs to do it. I think that's the reason why this is going out there. We don't know what to do with ourselves. So we're like, I'm going to pay it for it. I was in Louisville. I did the 14th. I just played a huge theater to six people.
Yeah, I'm not fucking doing it.
No. Then I gotta have my daughter come in and like fucking heckle me. I think not. fucking wife like sticks up her nose when I go pussy, 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 pussy. I don't think so. I'm not protecting myself. Yes. Yes. And without a two-item minimum.
I thought you were just right. Talking about our normal audience.
No, our normal audience is. Are not chronic masturbators. They can stop. They choose not to.
Well, I think that they tune in to do it with our show?
Maybe to your voice, dear, not mine. Nobody's jerking off to the sound of my voice. I don't think.
You never know.
Nobody's getting a rod.
And I was also thinking, you know, because our industry, like many industries, has taken a hit. There's, like, no comedy going on. Like, I have the same schedule right now as Jerry Seinfeld, Chris Rock, Dave Chappelle. We have the same fucking schedule open.
Yeah.
But
yes, it's true, actually.
I don't think comedy's going to – I think it's going to be a long time until stand-up comedy comes back. And I think the reasons are – are multiple reasons. First of all, I don't think a lot of venues are going to open back up. I don't think a lot of clubs are going to be able to open back up. I think a lot of the restaurants where we're going to do it are not going to be able to open back up. I also think people are not going to have money to spend on this stuff because so many people are out of work. And I also think people are not going to want to be in crowds for a while. So I think stand-up comedy is really going to take a beating.
I think it's going to come roaring back because I think everybody's sick and tired of being cooped up. And the people that, you know, are working, you know, are just, you know, do have money. We're not spending it anymore.
Yeah, but if there's no place to see it, if comedy clubs and restaurants don't.
When it finally gets rolling again, I think what's going to happen is it's going to be the shows are going to be packed because people, you know, have been cooped up. They want to get out. They want to get their lives back to normal again.
No, I feel people want to go out, but. I just don't see it happen. I think a lot of comedy clubs and restaurants open up on a shoestring budget. I just don't think it's going to come back strong at first. And I don't think people are going to want to rush out to go into a packed little comedy club with low ceilings, with fucking people smoking and drinking all. Well, not smoking anymore, but just drinking and all. I think it's going to be rough for a while.
I kind of agree with you, Devin, because I think that. Because people are getting hit, you know, their employers are getting hit. So, you know, people are getting downsized or they're, you know, they're not working overtime or whatever. So people are not going to have the pocket money to go out right away like they used to.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a problem. And I think those first couple of weeks when comics do start working again, those shows are going to suck because we are all rusty as hell.
I don't think it's right. You know, if you know what though? Yeah, but you want to know something? If you're a good writer, you'll have stuff on the whole thing going on.
Yeah, but you still got to deliver it. And let's be honest, Joe. The comics that write are writing through this. The comics that don't write, they're still closing with the arms and doing their same tired shit. This has not inspired them.
Well, no, but
they're
going to
be apple juice jokes.
I don't know if there'll be apple juice jokes. What were you saying, Joe?
They can still do the arms. They'll just wear gloves.
They can't do the arms. You have to be 6 feet apart. So I'm washing my chest really far away. No. Sorry. Little inside comedy, kids. Little inside comedy. But yeah, man, I think comedy is going to be one of those industries that really takes a beating.
Well, unfortunately, I kind of agree with you. I'm also worried about the little guy restaurants and you know, houses that they, you know, they're living like week to week. And
a lot of them aren't coming back.
Yeah, they might not.
This is going to be you know, a lot of it really depends on the bailout, what Congress comes up with and what the president signs into law. But I mean, it's going to be hard to make everybody whole. Not everybody's going to come back. As long as we're talking about the bailout really quickly, I want to know if you guys are as irate about this as I am. The president keeps on talking about bailing out, besides the airlines, which I ranted about last week, Boeing. Boeing had an issue, and now this on top of it. Boeing had an issue because they made unsafe planes that killed people that they knew about, and they didn't tell anybody. Fuck Boeing. Why the hell do we have to bail out Boeing? Fuck them. Okay.
Well, it's a major manufacturer.
I don't give a shit. Somebody replace them. Or you know what? If they're going to bail out Boeing, then that whole executive board has to go. All those motherfuckers have to go. Because they knew. They knew there was a problem with these planes, and they didn't do anything about it. And then they tried to cover it up. There was internal memos. They didn't do shit. So now people are struggling on the street, and we got to give money to Boeing? Fuck them.
I can see Boeing more than I can see The cruise industry.
Yeah, the cruise industry. They're not even registered in the United States. They're registered like all over the world. If they're not paying taxes in the United States, why are we bailing them out?
Exactly. And why is it so important that we be able to cruise?
Well, to be fair, a cruise is very good for getting a midnight buffet. And that is, quite frankly, a service that I can stand behind.
Oh, I can easily stand behind it. Well, actually, I have to stand far away from it because my belly is so big when I get on that close to a buffet. But the thing is, as much as I love the buffeting aspect, I mean, this is really some white people problem shit. Cruise industry is going under.
Yeah, I mean, really, it's not... It's not really an industry that affects, you know, honestly, they don't really employ a ton of Americans. If you've ever been on a cruise ship, they employ people from Eastern Europe, from your Latin countries. And why do they employ them? Because they can get them at a lot cheaper rate than you can get Americans. Now, they have like American entertainers. But if you're talking about the people that clean the cabins, that put out your food, Even a lot of the entertainers, but a lot of them are not American. So again, why are we bailing them out?
I can't fathom it.
But apparently, because that's what the president keeps on mentioning. He keeps on mentioning Boeing, the airlines, and the cruise line industry. And I can think of a whole lot of people that need to be bailed out before them. We're gonna have to bolster these hospitals. We got rural hospitals that are closing all the time. How about we pour some money into those rural hospitals in those underserved communities? How about we do that?
Yeah, but you got to understand something. I don't know about the cruise industry, but the thing with Boeing is you got to remember that Boeing not only makes airliners, but Boeing makes parts to repair airliners. Those parts go into maintenance of the planes. Those planes fly and are an integral part of our transportation and our economy. It kind of goes hand in hand with the airline. If you want to come out of this in relatively with less damage, you have to kind of ensure that transportation mode is not disrupted. If Boeing goes out, the airlines can't get.
So this is like the bailout that we did in 08. So it's like because they fucked up. We have to pay for it. But these are the same people that are going to tell me we can't have health care, we can't have education, we can't have pre-K. Same fucking people. Either we have socialism or we don't have socialism. This is the shit that pisses me off. Don't tell me we can't have medical care for every person in this country and at the same time bail out a shit company like Boeing Airlines. Don't fucking tell me that. Either we have it or we don't. You can't have it both ways.
You can't. It's not a perfect world, okay? And you live in Candyland sometimes. Basically, keeping Boeing going is essential to the getting airplane parts to keep.
There's other airline manufacturers. There's other parts. I thought we're capitalism. I thought the cream rises to the crop. Boeing is a shit company. Then if we're going to give them money, get rid of that whole executive board. Everybody that's responsible for people dying and sweeping it under the rug, get rid of them. If they're going to take our money, they're going to get bailed out by the tax dollars, then get rid of that executive board and get real people in there. Fuck them.
Okay, so what are you supposed to do? This is supposed to be done overnight. What do you think? There's a guy down the street. It's not a deli. It's Boeing. There's not a guy down the road that could build, you know.
Listen, anybody can fuck up a company. I could fuck up a company. I mean, listen, you give them 6 months. Go, all right, we're giving you the money, but you have to have a whole new executive board in 6 months. That's the deal.
That could be a part of it, but still, the bottom line is that this is an essential part of the transportation, which is an essential part of our economy.
And you know what? People are essential, too. You know what's an essential part of our economy? Fucking human beings. That's an essential part of our economy, too, because without people, robots don't buy shit. I've never fucking seen a Zumba at ShopRite. I fucking wait and I wait. There's no Zumbas at ShopRite. And I'll tell you what, I've never fucking seen Alexa at Walmart, either. Oh, sure, behind a fucking case, but not online. Nay, nay.
Right, but understand this. What you do see is people, okay? You do see people.
Yes, and I want them healthy.
But you see people that work for Boeing. You see the subcontractors that work for Boeing. You're seeing the people that...
Let's stop pretending that we are a capitalistic country. Let's just fucking stop. If you're gonna admit that we have socialism, okay, we have socialism. That's fine.
But, But it is capitalistic because basically when these people ship the parts, they pay a tax. When it's shipped, it's taxed. It's getting money.
That's commerce. That's not capitalism. Boeing failed. Boeing had one job. Make an airplane that doesn't fucking crash. They fucked it up.
All right. So let me ask you a question. With all these people, if Boeing goes under, to the thousands of people that are unemployed that actually work for Boeing, to the thousands of suppliers that are unemployed that actually supply to Boeing, where do we go from there? And don't tell me, well, we'll get another guy. It's not a deli. Well,
if you're telling me that we have capitalism, if you're telling me we're a truly capitalistic country, another company will come and fill that need if we have capitalism.
Who is that company that's gonna fill that need and get that infrastructure running as soon as we come out of this? It's not like, like I said, it's not like there's a guy down the street. It's not like a deli, and the deli had shit food, and he went out of business.
Here's the deal:
the guy down the street. It's a lot more that goes.
Here's the deal, though: nobody's ordering Boeing airlines anymore. Even before the coronavirus, nobody's ordering Boeing planes anymore because they don't trust them. They don't trust them.
They're ordering the parts to repair the planes. You know how many 737s? And we're not talking about the MAXes, but 737s. That Southwest Airlines uses, they use all 737s. All those 737s require parts. All those 737s go in for their 10,000-25,000 maintenance. Those parts are supplied by Boeing. If they don't get those parts, those planes don't fly. Essentially, Southwest goes out of business. You know, it's a thing that's a cavalcade. Sometimes, you know, look, when they bailed out the auto industry, I really wasn't that thrilled. But the bottom line is that sometimes they got you. It's hundreds of thousands of jobs that are going to be lost, in addition to an economy that's trying to get back to get another hundreds and thousands of jobs back on
well,
the payroll.
Then just admit that the rich have socialism. That's all. The rich have socialism. The poor got to pick themselves up by the bootstraps. You fuck up. You make bad decisions. Sorry, sucker. You're on your own. But if you're rich and powerful, the government's got your back. That's what it is. And if we all admit that, then I'm fine. Then we're all working on the same fucking knowledge base. That's all.
I think if you're a huge company that thousands and thousands of jobs are based on, and you come into a situation that was not of your own accord, we got to do.
But this was their own accord, and the airlines. You know, Donald Trump gave everybody the tax break. You know what these airlines did, and Trump has even spoken about. They bought back their own fucking stock. They didn't put it on planes. They didn't put it in hangars. They didn't put it in the mechanics or the flight attendants or the pilots. They didn't put it anywhere. They bought their own stock. And you know what? They're still charging us a 9/11 fuel surcharge and all the little fees they came up with after 9/11. Now you pick your seat. Oh, now your luggage costs extra. Now it costs you extra to put on a carry-on. And you're asking American people who are out of work, who are struggling, who can't pay their bills, to bail them out. It's bullshit.
All right, how about that you people to bail? How about the people that work for Boeing? Ask them. How about the suppliers that supply Boeing with the parts, the subcontractors? Ask the people in those areas, the delis, the stores.
So why is Joe, I'm gonna ask you this and then I'm gonna move on. Why are you like worried about these people, but when I tell you about these medical emergencies where people don't have health care, you're like, oh, tough titty, said the kitty. What's the fucking difference?
Because the reason is that this situation, along with the health care, but this situation is important now. Bailing out, look, if Boeing had problems because of the 737 MAX, and that was just it. Everything was fine. You know what? That's your problem. I mean, but this is a situation beyond scope that 3 weeks ago.
But the reality is Boeing had problems because nobody wanted to buy their planes because nobody trusts them anymore. And why doesn't anybody trust them anymore? Not that they made a defective plane. That was bad enough. That they made a defective plane, they knew about it, and they didn't tell anybody.
But what you're doing is you're looking at one part of the story of selling the planes. What I've explained for the past 10 minutes is the parts, the repair parts, the parts network to keep.
So you know what?
Flying.
You know what? Boeing loses their trademarks too. Let somebody else make it. Boeing loses their fucking trademarks.
But you can't that when we're coming out of a situation, a situation that our generation has not seen since the Great Depression. You can't tell this company, well, you're going out of business, and trying to get everything back.
And you can't tell the American worker and the American people, sorry, you can't pay your bills, you can't pay your mortgage, you don't have medical care, but we're going to bail out Boeing. You can't do it.
You're telling over 100,000 people that or more that depend, that work for Boeing, that work for the subcontractors, the same exact thing.
And we tell hundreds of millions of people, sorry, you don't have health care. We really don't have a hard time breaking news to people. We kind of fucking do it all the time. That's kind of our thing. We kind of break bad news, go, oh, sorry, this is America, pull yourself up by the bootstraps. You know what? They can go to the banks and get a fucking loan. There's no reason why they can't get a loan. Interest rates are dirt cheap right now. Let them get a fucking loan. They don't have to get it from us.
It's
a damn good point. And now I'm going to move on to something fun. Do you guys ever watch 90 Day Fiancé?
No.
Do you really? Do you really? I don't think so. Mister, I'm watching the fucking Flintstones. Why don't you relax?
Sorry, I watch TV shows geared to men. Sorry.
Do you now? Oh, okay. I guess you don't like these men that are hooking up with these fucking hot chicks. I guess that's not your thing. You'd rather watch cartoon dudes fucking peddling around with grand poobah hats. I forgot, Mr. Manly Man, sitting by yourself.
Well, now that you know, move on.
Anyway, 90 Day Fiancé is this show where there's these Americans and they fall in love with foreigners abroad. That's the synopsis.
Why does that sound like it's right up in our wheelhouse?
I don't know. So anyway, that's my guilty pleasure now. One of my guilty. So now they have before 90 Day Fiancé. So 90 days means if they're applying for to come over here for a visa, the foreigners, they have 90 days once they get that visa to get married. So before the 90 Day Fiancé is before they get the visa. So I bring all this up for this very salient discussion here. So I'm watching 90 Day Fiancé on Sunday night because I can't watch about the coronavirus anymore. It's too much. And I love the 90 Day Fiancé. So there's this 52-year-old squatty American. The guy doesn't have a neck. Have you ever seen Weebles? Weebles don't have necks. He's a fucking human Weeble. So I'm watching this guy, Ed. And he has fallen in love with this 24-year-old pretty Filipino girl named Rosemary. They've been dating 3 months. He's sending all sorts of money. You know, they're dirt poor, as you would imagine. So over the course of the 3 months, oh, and she has a 4-year-old son named Prince. I know way too much about this shit. Anyway.
You're a little scary. This sounds like one of your girlfriends.
Most certainly. But this point, I'm going to get to a discussion here, but I got to set the groundwork. So they've been talking for 3 months. Rosemary does not want to talk about her past. You know, he brings up the past. She don't want to talk about it. So he flies over there. He's finally going to meet her. She still don't want to talk about her past. Now, first of all, when is a good time to discuss your past with a new love?
Certainly, 20 years.
With your past. Did I ever tell you about that thigh I came across?
Certainly sometime during the 90 days before you're to get married.
Right, no, but I mean, like, they've been dating 3 months and she doesn't want to talk to them. Is she being ridiculous? Or is she being, you know, hey, man, back it off?
No. Well, it depends on what aspect of her past she's talking about. Like, you know, some people become obsessed with, oh, how many people have you been with and what did you do?
That's Ed. Ed wants to know who she's been with, when she's been with them. And Rosemary's like, back off, motherfucker. I don't want to talk about it.
Yeah. No, she's right.
She is right, right? It's a little presumptuous.
Yeah, it is right.
It is right, because basically, you know, when you're dating somebody, well, I'll tell you about your past, you know, and there are things that are people's business and some things that are not people's business. So, yeah, she's right in a way.
So then,
I mean,
go on.
You do have to tell people if you've been married before.
Yeah, she has been married. She has been married. No, I don't know if she's been married, but obviously, you know, the father, but she don't even want to talk about the father of her kid.
Well, I mean, like some minor details, like a short biography would be good. Just that, you know, he knows who was that that fathered your child. That's about all you need to know.
Yeah, she just tells her a little bit about the dad. Well, here's the story about the dad, this, that, and the other thing. You know, and if he loves the girl, I guess it's not that big of a deal.
Well, then, so then they're at dinner in the Philippines, and this guy's a whiny little bitch. I mean, it's in the Philippines, they're in a crowded market, it's 100 degrees, he's like, I need air conditioning. Really, American? Suck it up, Buttercup. Really? Fuck. It's 100 degrees for everybody, you got this hot piece of ass over there, and you're schwitzing. Enough! Suck it up!
Really?
Yeah, I'll fucking sweat for a bitch. I will sweat. That's something I'll do. I'll sweat for a bitch. I'm not going to whine about it because I'm a fucking man who watches Before 90 Day Fiancé. Anyway,
yeah.
Okay.
I'm a princess. I want AC.
Well, I want AC too, but if I got a hot piece of ass, I'm fucking fine. It'll be okay. Yeah, I mean, she's not sweating. She's fine, and I'm going to whine like a little girl? I don't think so. Anyway.
Yeah, but then if you start making out with it, now you're all sweaty. You're getting sweat all over. She's going to be disgusted. You want some AC cooking.
They're not making out. They're buying pajamas in the market, Joe. All right. So they're at dinner. Ed is still very troubled. He asked Rosemarie to do a favor. Now, Pip, have you seen the episode?
No, I haven't.
What do you think Ed asked Rosemarie to do?
Name her number of partners.
Okay, that's a good guess. Joe, what do you think?
I would say the same thing.
You're both absolutely wrong. Rosemarie, can you do me a favor? What's the favor, Ed? Can you take an STD test? Oh, my fucking God.
Oh, like, this is not proper dinner conversation.
Well, what is the meal? Pip, what is the meal where an STD test is proper conversation?
Burritos.
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 I feel like Midnight Buffet is a good time for this conversation.
Well, certainly not at breakfast after the fact, because now the horses are out of the barn.
And Rosemarie loses it. She starts crying. She storms out. Are you fucking kidding me? Can you imagine? I can't imagine. You know what? Sometimes you just got to brave it. That's why you wear a raincoat. That's why you inspect the area around there to make sure everything is in its proper order before you send your man into battle. You just can't ask that, though. You can't ask the enemy what the battle plan is. You can't do that.
And you think if you get married, aren't you supposed to take one?
No, it's a blood test.
Okay.
It's, I mean,
well, what did the blood test was for?
I don't think it's for STDs.
Yeah, it is.
I think it would be, because basically you're going to have children. They want to find out, you know, maybe if you have the propensity to have children that might have some defects due to a pre-existing condition you might have due to an STD.
All right.
They're looking to see if you're crawling with syphilis.
But this is 3 months in. Nobody's getting married. This is 3 months in, over dinner. Will you do me a favor? Will you get an STD test? And then she's like, first of all, she's crying, and I don't blame her. Then she's like, all right, but I want you to get one. And he's like, okay, I will when I get back to America. I don't trust it here. Are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah, now he's an asshole. Now he's being an asshole. Yeah.
He's being an asshole.
If you want it done, you get it. If you want it done where they are, you both get it done where they are. If you want to go, well, I'll go back to the state. No, bullshit. You're getting it done here, too, with me, along with me.
Now, to be fair, I feel like Rosemarie probably had a lot more opportunities to get an STD than Ed did. To be fair,
are you counting him out from the STD parade because he has no neck?
Well, that's part of it, but he hasn't been like with a woman in years.
Oh, well, he still could have something festering. You never know.
I know I do. It's contempt.
the thing is now.
Go on.
No, this is a normal adult conversation that you have to have in the modern age. And you know, you say this at home, you sit down and go, you know what, we're going to go on with this part of our lives, and I think we should both go together and get tested.
I got to be honest with you, I am not mature enough for that conversation.
Really?
Really?
Absolutely.
Really?
Oh my God, dude.
With all the arguing we do about policy, we just got done with a big debate, and we debate all the time in the car, on the show, texting, on Facebook. You're not afraid of a confrontation. That's a deal breaker?
Yeah, here's the deal breaker, Joe. If you get pissed off at me, I don't want to get in your pants. You see the fucking difference? No matter how good of friends we are, I never want to get in your pants. So if you're like, well, I'm not talking to this asshole anymore, I'm okay with that. Do you understand? What?
But do you want to be get into the pants that are crawling with syphilis? Because you wouldn't ask the question.
I'm going to take my chances. Listen, I'm a brave individual. I'll fucking go in.
But you're brave about going in to bacteria cave, but you're not brave enough to ask the question?
Yes, because you know what? No matter how bad I am in bed, we're not going to argue about it afterwards.
Doesn't the phrase Pip just used, crawling with syphilis, scare you? I had to leave the room for a moment.
To me, that sounds like a thrash metal band. I would love to see Crawling with Syphilis. I feel like they would open for Anthrax. I feel like that's a band I would enjoy.
You sit across from it every Tuesday.
That's disgusting. You won't be here anymore. I don't know. I mean, and he does this on the cameras in a public place. It's just humiliating.
It's really very, very unfeeling, and it's really incredibly indiscreet to have this conversation in public.
And it's great TV.
Well, that's why I watch, Joe. See, now you're on board.
I'm not bored. I'm just.
Oh, Joe, it's fascinating television. And there's shit we relate to, because we're watching, you're clearly getting scammed. Yeah, I've spent $100,000 on this woman. I tried to meet her 3 times. She didn't show up 3 times. We've been dating for 7 years, but this is the time. No, it's not the time. You're not going to meet her. It's.
Oh, my God. It's really unfortunate that they didn't have this conversation already, like, online.
Here's an interesting one, I'll tell you. So, there's a Facebook page, Scamming Scammers. There's Ann and there's William. William's actually been on our show several years ago. We interviewed him. So there's this couple on the show. There's this 52-year-old American woman. And I got to tell you, not a good-looking 52. You know, a little zoftic. She's got that voice like she's had like Marlboros for like 2 packs every fucking day. You know, things are falling
like
apart.
The Simpson sisters.
What?
Like one of her, the sisters on The Simpsons.
Yes.
Marge Simpson's sisters.
Yes. Okay. Without the blue hair. And then we have Usman, who's a 30-year-old, decent, good-looking Nigerian music star. He's some type of celebrity. So they're dating. They've been dating a couple years. So here's the interesting thing. This woman on the show reached out to Scamming Scammers to check out this guy Usman, who goes by Soulja Boy.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, not the Soulja Boy, not the Soulja Boy that's a rapper here with the Supermaning. Not that one. A different Soulja Boy. So they check him out. And the guy's fucking legit. And I think they're married now. So you never know.
You do never know.
So I think my message to everybody is, when you think somebody's a scammer, take a fucking chance. You might be the one in a million.
Well, you know, I know somebody really well that went to the Philippines to get a bride.
Did they ask if the person had an STD?
That I wasn't privy to.
Oh, okay.
But you know, they've been married for, oh my God, like 20 years now.
Really?
Yeah.
I would go overseas to find somebody. I would.
Really?
Yeah. I kind of feel like America's on to me.
All of America.
I kind of feel like if I go to another continent, cross an ocean, I got a shot. I feel like the poorer they are, the better I look.
Well, you know, that's how I feel too. That's why I don't let Mr. Hillux have any pocket money.
Nor should you. So what's going on with you kids?
Nothing really. Just cooped up here, you know, but everything is locked down. give you an example. The Anthony Cumia show, they are doing his show. All the other shows are still in the city. He's doing his show from the compound again.
Oh, so that means he's having technical issues every moment.
A couple. He had a couple yesterday, him and Dave. And I wrote Keith yesterday. And I go, hey, Keith, I just want to make sure. Could I come over and hang out? I just wanted to write first. And you go, no. He goes, everybody, we don't want to take a chance. And I'm like, you want to know something? You got a point, because why drag everything out to the island, get the studio set up, and, you know, it defeats the purpose. So, yeah, they're all in lockdown.
Well, everybody is. But here's the infuriating part. You got people that are not taking it seriously. It's like, listen, motherfuckers, we all got to do this shit. Otherwise, it doesn't work.
Right.
To tell you the truth, for the past, you know, just except for getting gas, just running in and out of the supermarket, I've been around the same five people for the past week. I didn't go out. You know, I mean, I went to the chiropractor on Saturday morning. I just went to get a couple of extra things I need, and I've been in the house. You know, it's just been at the house. Go to the day program. There's more than half the staff is working from home. There's just five of us there, and then just, you know, we're all at a safe different distance away from each other, and then I get in the car and come back home.
What am I doing? I am doing grocery shopping. I've gone down to my parents to drop off supplies. I've delivered food to hungry children. By the way, one of the places I couldn't find, I mean, I did found it, but, like, the address, there's, like, it wasn't there. Like, it's, like, say, 38 or whatever on the street. It's not there. But there's like a big...
That's why they're starving. Nobody can get there.
Good point, Joe. But there's like a big dent...
Food. No, you need a mailbox.
Yeah, that would help. But there's this big dentist's office. So I go into the dentist office, and this is my first delivery. I go into the dentist's office. Listen, you're such and such a number. I can't find this number. Do you know where it is? They're like, oh, yeah. There's two apartments upstairs. You go up there, you make a right. How the fuck does anybody find them? There's no sign on the street. How does anybody find them?
Yeah, am I dropping off food or scoring coke?
What?
Am I dropping off food or scoring coke? I mean, where is this place?
I feel like a coke dealer would want to be known.
Yeah.
I feel like it's better
for business if you can't find them.
Yeah. It's just, but yeah, that's what I'm... Now, like, the only thing I'm really missing, I like to go out to restaurants, not doing that, that's fine. I do miss performing, but other than that, this is pretty much my daily life. I hang out in the basement. That's pretty much what I do. So
yeah.
I'm okay because I got shit to do. There's always work to do. So I got stuff to do.
Yeah, it's creepy.
Did you just call me creepy?
I live in the room where my cats have the cat boxes.
Ew.
I just live in here.
Ew. Why don't you
treat my office space is?
Why don't you treat yourself and work in the kitchen?
Because this is where the hookup to the internet is.
Don't you have Wi-Fi?
I unfortunately have crappy Wi-Fi. I think I have to replace my modem, but this is not the time for me to go out shopping.
Oh yeah, I'm so, you know, I've been in stores. It's nice. There's nobody there.
Yeah.
Well, I went to the grocery store, but that's like a necessity. I'm not going to go to any stores.
No, the wife went out for Home Depot because she's making these masks, for our medical professionals, like the shield. She's making we got a 3D printer, so she's making like this plastic shield for them, and she had to get like some type of elastic or something. I don't know what the hell she's getting. So she had to go out. I'm like, what are you doing? You can't go out. Ah, you just walk right in. They have it ready for you. I'm like, you're defeating the purpose. But she's doing a good thing. Like my wife is really good with the 3D printer. She's made me TIE fighters and everything. If I knew how to use the 3D printer, I'd be making nothing but dildos. There'd be different colors and different sizes. But you would come down here and you would see the CDs, cassettes, and dildos. That's what you'd see on my shelf.
Well, actually, it'd be pretty interesting if you had those in the background while we did the show.
Well, I can't ask my wife, can you make me some dildos? She'll ask questions. There's no good answer for this. There's no good reason for that. Oh, I need it for the show. You're doing what now? There's nothing. You know.
It would be more disturbing.
Yeah. And then people be commenting, oh, I bet he likes that the pink one the best. I don't need that.
I think it would be really disturbing if you had them on the shelves behind you now, because it would be in between little girls' toys, and that would get the police coming over.
This is all my shit over here. The doll, the gel appeal, outburst. That's all mine. All mine. I play with it all. I have free time now. I have little tea parties. It's nice. Don't you judge me. You know, me in here, hold on.
What's that?
Me and this little gal here, we're dating. You can't see, but I got a doll. I got a doll here. I think it's like an American girl or whatever. A little dressed in pink. And I feel very comfortable with this little girl, and I'll tell you why. Well, first of all, she can't talk, which I like. I like that a lot.
Yes.
Second of all, I am 97% sure that this little girl in my hand right here does not have STDs. So I don't need to have that uncomfortable conversation.
And it's probably made of plastic.
Well, it is. So the virus could stick on it. But I feel like nobody's done unconscionable things with this little girl. So I feel good about my relationship.
There you go.
So, listen, you're sounding a little too pedo for my liking. Put the doll down.
I know you're liking. I know you're liking, and I think I'm right in your ballpark.
What's that, Joe?
In the basement all day. Yeah,
this is what I do, Joe. This is what I do. Just hang out in the basement, play with my dolls. That's what I do.
Big wooden pillar. That's you and that big wooden pillar all day long.
I dry hump it. I put my leg on. It's fucking nice.
Stop with the sexy talk.
When you're not around, that's what I do too.
Yeah, when you're not around, we're running out of sanitizer because of you.
Well, you know what? I am not the one that hoarded it.
No.
Surprisingly.
All right. Shall we take our first break?
Yeah,
I guess we should.
All right, we got on the break. We got new music from Nadia, with it's a German song. So I'm gonna sound a little intimidating right here. But Ich bin Alien.
I'm an alien.
I it could be. Is that what that means?
Ich bin is I am.
Yeah. All right.
Just alien.
I guess.
Yeah.
All right. And you can learn more about Nadia at khb-music.de. khb-music.de. And, we'll come back. We'll tell you about it. We'll tell you how the Nazis are using the coronavirus to their benefit. You're going to want to hear that story. Real short break, 3 minutes. We'll be right back.